Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
I want to start in chapter number 1 of Genesis and verse number 3. We know that God created the earth and the heavens and the earth. And it was in verse 3, God said, "Let there be light." And then there was light. He saw the light, that it was good. And he divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day and so forth. And then verse 6, he said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. And in the midst of the waters, let it be divided from waters from waters." God made the firmament and divided the waters. You know, he saw it was good and so forth. Verse 9, God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place." He saw that it was good. Verse 11, God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass and herbs yielding seed, the fruit yielding tree, fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herbs yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. God saw that it was good. And evening and morning were the third day. And then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven." And he divided the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven, and let and give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, basically the sun and the moon. I'll save some time and go down to verse number 20. God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life." And so, there was fish, and then there was fowls of the air. And then God created in verse 21, great whales and every living creature that moves in the waters, and it brought forth abundantly after their kind, every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 24, God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping things, the beasts of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind. And he saw that it was good. The end of the verse. And then God was, he kept creating, and in this process of 6 days, he kept creating a place, and he was working up to something. And whenever he finally got done with everything, he finished the creation, and then he said, "Let us make man," in verse 26, "in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth, every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." Amen. And God said to them, verse 25, "Be fruitful and multiply." And God tells them in verse 29 and verse 30 and 31 that the herbs were for their food. And then you could read down on through how in chapter 2 he talks about he sanctified the seventh day and rested. And then it talks about the verse number 7. Let's go to verse 7. "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Look at this verse 9. "Whom out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree." Now notice he's referring to some of the things he had created here. "The tree that is pleasant for the pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." And he talks about the rivers in verses 10 down through verse 14. And it talks about the garden in verse 15 that he put him in. And he told him to dress and keep the garden. And basically, we see God doing all this creation and making this entire planet, building everything into it that we see into it, all the resources, everything we see in all the in the ground, everything we can get out of the ground, all the wildlife, all the plants and everything that's here. God made this planet a very luxurious place. And he was working up to something. He didn't make it for his own pleasure. He made it, and then he capped the thing off by putting a man in it, which was really the reason he spent all that time and put all these things in the earth, was really because he wanted man to be here, and he was creating a place of provision for man. That's what he was doing. He was working up to that. He didn't make any more creation after he created man. Isn't that right? Which tells us man was the ultimate reason he was making this planet. Come on, yeah, everybody say amen to that. That's the ultimate reason he was making. He wasn't making it for the animals, because he didn't stop there. He went on and made a man and actually told the man to have dominion over the planet. And over all the livestock in it, and over all the fish, praise the Lord. That's the reason today that, you know, you've got to, and I believe it's right to protect the earth, and I believe it's right to be responsible with the earth and not abuse it and so forth. But, you know, some of the things that we're seeing creeping into our culture have, if you study history, has crept into almost every culture that got away from God. And that is the reversal of the order of what this planet is here for. We're not here to serve this planet. We're here because God made it as a place for us to live, and He made a place for provision for us. We're not here serving the planet. The planet is serving us.
Amen.
And get this, the planet is not here for animals. The animals are here for us. We get things, and you start starting to see things creep into even our culture. And you have to recognize what's going on. I mean, I think some Christians ought to wake up and say, hey, this is, you know, and I believe in protecting animals. I don't believe in abusing animals or abusing the planet or anything. But how many of you know it gets kind of cultish sometimes? It gets kind of weird sometimes. I mean, now it's starting to creep into our politics, you know, the green earth and protecting the trees. We got tree huggers, and we got people that oppose building a new highway. You know, even Cedar Rapids has been dealing with, they've been waiting on pushing legislation through because there's certain groups in the city that are opposing building a beltway around here on the west side of town, I guess you'd call it, down from the north to the south. Because there's some bugs and some little birds that live out there, you know, and they don't want to destroy those bugs and little birds. Well, I'm not for just destroying things to destroy things, but you understand, we recognize that those bugs and birds are here to serve us. We're not here to serve those bugs and those birds. I mean, really, if you look in every culture that gets away from God, they elevate the animals and they demote the humans. In India, starving babies are not living because the cow that they could eat might be grandpa, you know, reincarnated. And the rats, have you ever seen pictures of the infestation of rats over there? Because they worship rats. And they won't kill them. And the rats are biting children and they're dying of diseases. But they won't kill them because, you know, that might be somebody reincarnated in our family. They elevate animals. They worship animals. They worship the creature more than the creator. And they get things in reverse. They don't understand why the planet is here. That's the reason they build altars and idols and make them, turn them into cows and turn them into snakes. And they have all these animals that they carve out of gold and a tree, you know, and they're worshiping those things. That's out of order. That's reverse. It's not the way God set things up. Man is the highest creation on the earth. And that's the reason the earth is here.
That's right.
Are you there with me?
Yes.
Every culture that starts going this direction has lost the revelation of what God's focus was for creating this planet. And this planet is a servant to us. This planet is here to for us to enjoy. You see that in chapter 2, verse number 9. The trees are for, it's for pleasant to sight, for just to look at. Amen. It's not here to serve me or for me to hug it, you know, or worship it. It's here to serve us. We build houses out of it. We do things with the lumber. Praise God. And I'm not saying molest the earth just to molest it, you understand. You could get out of balance on both sides. But I'm talking about when it becomes cultish. And you know, you really start wondering about things when Hollywood starts pushing it real hard. How many of you know, usually if they're into it, it's usually, I can't say all the time, but usually it's something weird of some other religion or something like that. It's usually New Age or something like that. Amen. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. That's just the truth about it. You know, I'm not saying everybody in Hollywood's not of God. You understand. There's some good people there. But there's a spirit that gets a hold of groups of people that aren't serving God. You understand what I mean? So really, without man, there is no purpose for creation whatsoever. And I want you to see that this whole, the focus of this whole universe, and I'm not just talking about the earth, I'm talking about the stars, the planets, everything out there. The focus of it all is this planet. Now you say things like that, and instantly, because of all the stuff on TV, people's minds, they go, well, I don't know, you know, there might be other life out there. You've been watching too much TV.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. 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 Did you see here? Look at chapter 1 in Genesis. Notice what he said. Let's start in verse 14, chapter 1, verse number 14. God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from night." So notice, these lights in the heavens are for lights on the earth. That's what these things in the heavens are for. They're for lights on the earth. And divide the day from night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Yes. Notice that you realize if every clock broke on the earth tonight at 8 o'clock, every clock on the earth broke, that we could still tell the time and we could still know when it's springtime, summertime, and all the other seasons.
Amen.
Because all the planets are set in motion out there, and they're actually influencing these seasons and times and things.
Amen.
That's what he said right here. It's all for the earth. He said, let these lights in the firmament be for seasons, for signs, for days, and for years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. So what do we know by that then? Even the universe was created as a focal point to create a certain kind of atmosphere for this earth.
Yes. Amen.
How many of you realize even the earth is the proper distance from the sun? The earth is not here to serve the sun. The sun is here to serve the earth.
Amen.
And really, if you think about it, God didn't create the sun to serve the earth, because he created the earth to serve man. So the sun is there to serve man.
Amen.
Everything God made is to serve man. And it's God created this dwelling place of provision and of luxury for man to live in. And everything in the universe is focused towards it, serving its purpose, which is a place for man, God's chosen, God's highest creation.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can you say amen? Notice he didn't say the planets were out there or the sun or anything else was out there for anything else, for any other planet. He didn't mention any other planet that there was life on. That went over real big. Amen. So praise the Lord. Listen to this. I want you to read. This is the Amplified. I'm going to read verse 14 in the Amplified, because I like the way the Amplified brings it out. God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be signs and tokens of God's provident care.
Yeah.
And to mark seasons, days, and years.
Yeah.
In other words, the planets, the sun, everything in this universe is to be preaching something to us. It's to say, every time you see the sun come up in the morning and warm the earth, it's to say, it's supposed to be preaching something to you. Here's what you're supposed to get out of that. God loves me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All of creation is telling you something.
Yeah.
If you just look at it, you see how it's all set up.
Yeah. Amen.
True science will line up with this.
Amen.
They've got all kinds of things going on out there, but you realize a lot of them are denying God too. But anyway, we see then that these things on the earth, including even in Matthew 6, he talks about, behold the birds of the air. He said how they toil, they don't sow, nor do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? In other words, that's another part of creation that is to be telling you something. God will take care of you.
Amen.
Because God put it all here for you.
Amen.
How can you not believe Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory, if you see the fact that everything was made to take care of you?
Amen.
That's why God put it here, was to take care of you.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
It's all really about man on this planet.
Yes.
Somebody said it's all about Jesus. Wait a minute. Jesus came for man. If man had not fell, Jesus would not have needed to come.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, you ought to get something out of this tonight, and that is that God loves me.
Amen.
Praise God. Man is God's chief creation. Without creation, without man being here, there would be no purpose for creation.
Amen.
So some of these things that people are all excited about, and they're saying we need to serve the earth and so forth. I mean, no, you don't serve the earth. The earth is here to serve you. Well, we're one with the earth. No, you're not one with a servant. You're over a servant.
Amen.
If you've got an employee, you're in charge of their giving them direction. And you know, you're not one with them. Amen. But every culture or society that has become one with the earth, or has focused on serving the earth or the creation more than God, has become cultish and lost focus of God's purpose for these things. And that has happened in a lot of cultures. And we have to recognize what's happening. Have you recognized that Hollywood all that has begun? Now, you hear me out on this. Don't just hear the letter of this. I'm going to balance this out with something, all right? But how you recognize how that they're bringing everything, all these Disney movies and stuff, they're all making animals humanistic-like.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they make them talk, and they have emotions, and you know, they make them like humans or something. Yeah, you understand that?
Yes.
What they're trying to do, hello?
Yes.
I'm telling you something maybe you don't like. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to turn us towards more worshiping of animals.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that good. Amen. It's infiltrating Hollywood. They're dehumanizing humans and humanizing animals.
Yeah.
And they're trying to make animals on the level as a human. And then they're going to start saying we need to protect the animals. How many of you noticed that spirit's already in America?
Yeah.
How many of you notice they'll take a TV camera into the dog pound and they'll show you how dogs get treated and things are abused and so forth, but they haven't taken one into an abortion clinic lately? You there? I mean, take one into the abortion clinic. Let the whole world see what you're doing to human beings. But they won't do that. But they'll take it into the dog pound and they'll show you a dog and they'll get you going, oh, that little puppy. How many of you know that's just desensitizing us it's save the whales and abort the babies, you know? And I'm not against, you know, how many of you know those whales, those fishes in the sea were for me to eat and for me to enjoy while I'm eating them? They're here to serve me. They're here to serve you. I mean, the Bible says that one of the things, you remember 1 Timothy chapter number 2, it talks about doctrines of devils. You ever remember that? And the very first one was forbidding to eat meat. Uh-huh. Well, we don't want to eat the little critters because, you know, we don't want to destroy them. And, you know, there's a lot of animals that are no longer on the planet. Well, where do you find in the Bible that the Bible says, make sure that none of the species of the planet ever get extinct?
Come on, that's good.
It doesn't say that. It says that they're here to serve us.
Yes, amen.
Amen. God made it all to serve man. Man is the cap and crown of his creation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And can you see now what man lost when Adam committed high treason and sold out to Satan, to where Satan was able to manipulate circumstances in this planet to keep provision from coming to man? Can you see the high treason that was? But now can you see what redemption was all about? I believe you ought to be getting a hold of that.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So we see then that anytime society turns towards this, they start becoming inhuman toward humans.
Yes.
And we see that happening in our culture.
Yes.
They start becoming inhuman to humans. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
They twist these things until man doesn't do anything to hurt the earth. You know, we're earth friendly. Well, you understand there is a balance to this. But I'm talking about this cultish. How many of you can sense the spirit of some of this sometimes? I mean, it's just really weird. That's what I'm talking about. That spirit is what I'm saying we cannot be a part of. And I'm not telling you to go out and just abuse the planet or anything. You understand what I'm talking about? But the point I'm trying to make is that we've got to guard against this spirit of the world that's getting in. You realize really what it is the spirit of poverty. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, because it requires that man do without in order for a bug to have it. You know, we can't build a highway which would help develop the economy of the city, which is the benefit of man, because there's a bug over there that, you know, there's only 14 million of them left. Well, there's a lot of bugs I'd like to get rid of right now. How many of you like a few less mosquitoes right now? Dry that swamp up, build you a highway. I'm not looking for any place for mosquitoes to breed. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you see how sometimes this gets really twisted? And you've got to watch what's getting a hold of you. I mean, you've got to watch all this stuff about UFOs and this weird stuff. Somebody said, well, isn't there something going on? Well, I wouldn't be surprised people are seeing things. But how many of you know that Satan is a master deceiver?
Yes.
And I believe he's setting people up with getting in contact with evil spirits that are masquerading as UFOs or whatever. I believe they're seeing some things. But I don't believe it's of God. Nor do I believe there's life on another planet. Just because somebody sees something doesn't mean there's life on another planet. I mean, how much percentage of the time do they find out within 50 years it was the U.S. military testing out a new missile or something, you know? Praise the Lord. Anyway, some of you I can tell watching too much of that stuff, you don't like that very well. Amen. I also believe the devil is setting up the world to deceive them when the church is raptured out of here. Because when the church goes, the whole world's probably going to say, UFOs, UFOs, they carried them away. Well, it was for them, it was an unidentified flying object. But for us, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who he is. Amen. So we're not going to reverse the order of things. It's all about man. This planet was created for man. Animals are here for us to enjoy. Doctrines of devils get in and cause people to twist that around. They've saved the animals. Don't eat meat. But, you know, over here, we can kill and abort the babies. Now, go over to Romans chapter number 1. Let's notice verse 22. I want you to see something. I got to speed up. Quickly running out of time. Praise God for the truth.
Amen.
You know, I think a lot of politicians get off because they don't know God. Yeah. I think their intention is right.
Yeah.
I think they really have a concern about things.
Yeah.
But let me tell you what's affecting this planet worse than building another bridge or another highway or something like that. Here's what's affecting all the bugs and the animals worse than anything, and that's just sin. This planet is convulsing under the sin. That's the reason that it started falling apart to begin with. Adam committed sin. Satan got in.
Yes.
You understand what I'm talking about? If you really want to save the planet, help people stop sinning.
Amen.
Amen. Have you found Romans 1?
Yes.
Look at verse 22. It says, professing themselves, let's go back to verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Now, what he's referring here to is the nature of man. And so many cultures has done this. They start making idols and you know, making them in the form of animals and birds. You ever notice that a lot of times they do it in they make it of the sun, or they make an idol, you know, that looks like a moon, or an idol that is a bird or a snake, or they're always doing something out of creation.
Yeah.
And they're setting it up and worshiping it. And they're serving and worshiping the creature more than the creator. So, I mean, I believe Hollywood could be benefited a lot right now with a good dose of serving and worshiping the Creator more than the creation.
Amen.
More than the little bugs.
Yeah,
I mean, here in Iowa, we have a little bit of problem with this, but you go to California, or you go to New York City or places like that, man, it's a mess out there.
Yeah.
You realize Dr. Dufresne's been trying to build an office building that God's put in his heart to build for years. But he keeps running into these nuts that say, you're killing the little bugs. It's amazing. It's crazy. Just nuts. Just nuts. Look at your neighbor and say nuts. Amen. That's what it is. It's just people getting really weird out there. You have to have help to be that strange. But they worship and serve the creation more than the creator. In verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we see here that praise the Lord. We see then that this perverted thinking even causes them to do strange things with their own bodies.
Yes.
He mentioned homosexuality here.
Amen.
And you can see the rise of that is in parallel with the rise of this, you know, save the planet kind of a thing. Praise the Lord. You realize there is a balance to this, but I'm talking about this cultish, this spirit that gets behind it. Amen. So things that God made are here for the man. We're not to worship them or call them God. We're not to set up an altar, make an image out of an animal or some kind of creation. So why do men worship an animal or worship an image or something like that? It's because they don't understand that God created the earth for man. We're not here to serve animals. We're not here to serve things. There's no other God besides God.
Amen.
Animals are not gods. People sometimes in other cultures, they get to worshiping those things. But we have to realize our society is even creeping that direction.
Yes.
So they were created, earth was created, and animals and so forth. They were created for us. And these people that are worshiping these things are trying to find God. Really, they are, and we have to give them credit for that.
Yeah.
But what we also have to recognize is there's only one place that God has revealed himself and one book that he has written in the planet to help us know him, and that is the Word of God. And the Word of God reveals God's original plan. Get this. And the Word of God reveals God's plan and redemption to get man back to what he originally created the earth for.
Yeah.
So we have to stay in line with the Word of God and find the truth in God's Word. So really the earth has a very high purpose, and the whole universe is directed toward taking care of this earth. The whole universe is to serve the earth, to make its climate just right for man. The distance from the sun and other planets affect the planet, affect the tides. The moon affects the tides. All these things are for man. And they made a place for man to inhabit. Praise the Lord. It serves the earth. So we see God singled out the earth and said these other things are created for it. Praise the Lord. So we find then that God put man in the planet. He did no creation after man, which told us he was working up to something whenever he made all the planet. He was working up to the top of creation. That's man. And he said, now, man, you have charge over this. Man doesn't have, the animals don't have charge over man. The planet doesn't have charge over the man. We don't serve the planet. We're not one with the planet. The planet is not Mother Earth or Father Moon.
Right.
Amen. It's all here to serve us. Praise the Lord. So this planet is the only known inhabited planet in the universe. Earth is the reason for other heavenly bodies. God has had us in mind when he put the earth here. Praise the Lord. So let's go notice that it says this in Matthew 6. The birds and the flowers even preach this to us. But think about this. God said that are you not much better than they in Matthew 6. Didn't he say that? He said, look, the birds, they don't sow or reap, but they God takes care of them. You're better than them. Notice this. He's saying that, first of all, he's saying this. He's saying that the birds and the flowers and everything are not his main, the main focus or the main purpose of the earth.
Right.
And yet God takes care of them.
Right.
So what do you think if you are the main focus of this entire creation, can you believe that he'll take care of you?
Yeah.
You're the reason it's here. It's not here to serve the flowers.
Right.
It's not here to serve the animals.
Amen.
But he does take care of them, because taking care of them is taking care of us, because they're here to serve us and they're here for us to enjoy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. Amen. So you need to recognize the place that God made this planet and what he made this planet for. But here's something else you need to recognize, that not only is creation here to serve man, is that this is also true. Notice God made everything for man before man got here. What does that mean? In other words, God took care of man's need before the man was even in existence on the planet. Now that tells you something about the way God operates. If you're coming up to a need right now in life, recognize that God has already provided for that need before you came up and even knew you had a need.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. That's God's nature. Somebody said, but man fell. Yes, and God knew that was going to happen before it happened. And he called Jesus the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. In other words, he met that need before the planet was created, even like he met the needs for everything else before the planet was created. God's always way ahead of the devil. And he's way ahead of you, too. Somebody said, but I didn't know I was going to mess up. Well, God did. He's already up there fixing it up before you got there. Hallelujah. So we needed provision, and God provided it before we even needed it. And that's what we need to understand about redemption. God provides everything you need in Christ before you even had the knowledge that you had the need.
Amen.
That's the great plan of redemption. In other words, you didn't surprise God. Your parents said, well, they were an accident. You didn't surprise God.
Come on.
Maybe they were a surprise to your parents. You were a surprise to your parents, but you were not a surprise to God.
Amen.
How many of you know they might have not planned that egg and that sperm come together, but they weren't the ones that put a spirit in that egg and that sperm.
Yeah.
and that you became a living soul and a spirit being. They weren't the ones that did that. That was done on purpose, and God knew you were created. He knew your form before you were formed in your mother's womb. He knew your days from the beginning of them to the end of them, and He made provision for them for the whole time through. Hallelujah. And we need to realize that, because it is a great boost to our faith to recognize that God supplies all our need according to His riches in glory. Why would we be anxious about the rent or anxious about food or anything like that? That's the whole reason you're here. For God has a father heart, and He wanted somebody to care for. He wanted somebody to provide for and love and fellowship with, and a tree just wasn't enough. I mean, He could hug a tree, but it wouldn't respond. He couldn't fellowship with the tree.
Yeah, that's right.
God has a father heart. So we see why God made the planet. God made the planet for man. But why did He make man? Because He has a father heart, and He wanted to take care of somebody, and He wanted somebody to fellowship with.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. I tell you what, that's good preaching. I'm encouraging myself in the Lord. Praise the Lord. So Jesus planned, as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, God and Jesus made provision even for man's fall before man fell. How many of you know if He planned for all of that, He's got everything taken care of for you? Well, I didn't know I was going to have that need. Well, God knew it before you even born. Before you were a twinkle in your mom and daddy's eye, God knew you were going to need that. He knew the day you'd need it. He knew everything about you. I'll tell you, that's the heart of our Father God. That's the reason I think we ought to sing songs, Leanne. We ought to sing songs that emphasize our Father.
Amen.
I mean, we thank God His name is Jehovah. But there's something about that word Father that always, it helps us. A person who's calling Him Father is saying, I recognize what redemption is all about. Jehovah was who He was in the old covenant, but to me He's Father because I'm brought back to that place to where He cares for me as a father cares for his children.
Amen.
The Pharisees, when Jesus came on the scene, the days that Jesus walked the earth, the Pharisees called Him God, you know, G-A-W-D, God. Way off in the sky somewhere in a galaxy far, far away. Nobody knows that He's ever interested or caring about anything on the planet. That's who He was.
Right.
And God came, Jesus came on the scene calling Him my Father and I are one.
Yes.
And He kept calling Him Father. And the Pharisees started spitting out their false teeth and getting angry. How dare you call Him Father?
Right.
But what are we saying? Jesus was the first man on the earth to recognize what redemption was doing. It was bringing man back to a place where God could provide for him like a father cares for his children. He's not just a God up in heaven kind of thing. We recognize that He is almighty. We recognize His power. But He's not just power with no love.
That's right.
He's a loving heavenly Father. And He directs His power to us to take care of us, to provide for us. Amen. Go to Isaiah 45, 18 here. Isaiah 45, verse 18 gives us something that we should know about this planet. Some people have spent their entire life, their entire intellectual life, researching to find out what this verse tells us. And we could have told them just with one little verse. Isaiah 45, 18. Look at what it says here. It says, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it, He hath established it, He created it not in vain." In other words, there's a purpose for it. There's a reason He created the earth. And it's not for the animals.
That's right.
It's for man. It's a place for man to live.
Amen.
And let me say something. It's not just a place for man to live. How many of you know if parents... I'll finish this verse here in a minute. But if parents find out, no matter if they're economically strapped or what, they find out that they're getting ready to have a baby. They find out, oh my goodness, we're pregnant. Praise the Lord, we're pregnant. Well, it doesn't matter if they have millions or have 20 cents to rub together, two dimes to rub together. They instantly start planning a nursery room. They start planning for that child. They start planning and looking for clothes and they get a crib and they move everything out of one room and paint it up. And you know, they're having a baby. They're having a baby. Loving, got a baby. They're making room for it.
That's right.
Well, that's what God did. He for 6 days, he said, I'm going to have a family, going to have a family. I got to make a planet. I got to put trees in it. I got to put animals in it. I got to put all this stuff in it. I got to put things in there to eat for. I got to put gold in the ground for. I got to put minerals. I got to put oil. I got to put iron and things they can make things out of. And he said, I'm having a family. I'm going to have a planet with people on I can fellowship with. Hallelujah. And that's just the way God did it. And he was really thinking about his family. And I like to say this. How many of you know, also, many parents will make a playroom for their kids. Not just a place to sleep, but here's a playroom over here too. And this planet is God's big playroom for his man. I'm having children. Here, play with this. You like automobiles? You can create them and make them and play with them. You like four-wheelers? Play with them. That's my father doing that for me. He taught us how to make things out of the earth and gave us the wisdom to do it and said, enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Have a good time. You're my kids. Amen. That's the kind of reality that we should have on the inside. Then why would it be that we would think, why? Well, God, would you pay for my rent and help me? The whole planet is here for you. He's going to take care of you. Amen. So here he said, this planet was not created in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. Did you get that? I am the Lord and there is none else. So he formed it to be inhabited. In other words, man was his purpose and the earth was for the purpose of man. He didn't make it till he conceived the plan of man. That's whenever he made the planet. He had the plan of man in his mind when he started making the planet. So he formed it to be inhabited. And this verse shows us God always makes the provision before the need comes. Hallelujah. If you look at the word Jehovah Jireh, my provider, that is that word in the Hebrew literally means the God who sees ahead and provides.
Yeah, amen.
That's what that word means.
Amen.
Everybody say, he sees ahead.
He sees ahead.
And he provides.
And he provides.
He sees ahead.
He sees ahead.
And he provides.
And he provides.
Recognize something. If you come up to a need in life, recognize God's already been there.
Right.
And he's laid up something for it and provided for it.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, but I got there and I didn't find God. I know he went into tomorrow to provide for tomorrow.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
This has to become a reality on the inside of you. You come up to a need, you recognize well, there's provision here somewhere because this whole planet's here to take care of me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just use your faith on that. Praise the Lord. So why did he create man? He has a father's heart and he wanted to care for someone. He wanted to provide for him and fellowship with them. So God's priority is people.
Amen.
That's what this planet is all about. The priority is not the planet. The priority is not the animals. His priority is people. So always make people your priority.
Amen.
Don't abuse people and pet the dog.
Amen.
So mad at her. Come here, dog. Hitting home, isn't it? Make people your priority because they're God's priority. They're what God is all about. That's God's plan. Now go to Ephesians 1. Here's something that we would just get so blessed by. You get to see in this. You might get so excited you can't drive home. You have to fly home. Look at Ephesians 1. Let's notice starting in verse number 4. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In other words, when he was making this whole planet, he had in the back of his mind, I'm going to have a family. I got to build a playpen for them. I got to build a place for them that they can live in. And I'm going to take care of them because they're my kids.
Amen.
Amen. And this was not your idea. God taking care of you was not your idea. God's plan was from the foundation of the world that he'd take care of you. Now, I'm going to say something that might not go well with religious folks. But I never was religious myself.
Amen.
I have Jesus, not religion.
Amen.
You get a hold of this and understand the way God set this up and what he made this planet for, you'll have this come up in your heart. God owes me these things. Because, get this, he owes me these things because he put me here as his child and it was his idea. If you have a child, get this. If you're going to have a baby or you have children, you owe it to take care of them because you brought them into the planet. You understand that? That's the reason a man gets a lady pregnant and he runs off and won't take care of that child. That's not a man.
That's right. That's not.
That's not a man at all. That's not a father.
That's right.
You owe it to that child.
Yes, that's good.
Are you there? Or are you going home tonight? It was your, yeah, but it was an accident. I don't care.
That's
You're
right.
The one that did the deal that
Come
night.
On. Come on.
So, hey, fess up to it and take care of that child because you're the one. You did that. Well, it's not convenient. Who cares?
That's right. Come on. You say it.
Well, I can't afford it. Hey, you should have thought about that night you were in the bed.
Yes, amen, amen. Yeah, glory.
Praise the Lord. So God brought us into this planet. It was His idea. He's responsible to take care of us.
Amen.
It wouldn't be right for Him to have kids and not take care of them.
That's right.
And that won't offend Him talking to Him that way.
That's right.
You were His idea.
Right.
You weren't your idea. You were His idea.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So that's the kind of thing that'll rise up in your heart. Now, you won't offend Him talking like that. And you know, I guess people could get arrogant about that.
Yeah.
But you understand the heart at which you have when you say that.
Yes.
Have you found Philippians or Ephesians 1? Look at verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
Notice, before the foundation of the world. God chose you before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined. That word means planned ahead of time. Man was God's plan. He planned ahead of time. For unto He predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. I like the Amplified. It's even as He in His love has chosen us. In His love, He picked us out for Himself as His own in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, consecrated, set apart for Him, and blameless in His sight, even above reproach before Him in love. For He foreordained us, destined us, planned in love for us to be adopted, revealed as His own children through Jesus Christ in accordance with the purpose of His will. This was His will, His plan, because it pleased Him and was His kind intent. Praise the Lord. So what does that say? That He, but notice He said from the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world, He planned you. In other words,
yeah.
That's the reason He made the planet.
Yes.
It was for you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So let me say something here now. The Bible says that even Solomon in all of his glory did not receive everything God had for him because he wasn't arrayed like the flowers and so forth. Wow. Now, a lot of you don't know if you you get a little offended somebody gets a nice pair of shoes or something.
Yeah,
well, they already got 4 pair of that color. Oh, give me a break. Amen. Everything was put here for man.
Yes, amen.
Well, how many crocodiles had to die for that pair of shoes?
No.
I don't know. They're here for me, man. I'm getting rid of some tradition in some of you thinking. Are you not much better than they?
Yes.
Yes, you are. He didn't put the earth here to feed a bird. He's saying He put them here to serve us. You're much better than they. You're the center of His purpose. You're the center of His focus. And He made everything to take care of you. That's why if you're in the center, if you're the center of His purpose, and the Bible says you are, it says you're the apple of His eye.
Yes. Amen.
Did you know that?
Yes.
Right there. That's what He's focusing on all the time. That's what He's focusing on all the time.
Yes.
That's what you are here for. And really, if you look at what Jesus said in Matthew 6, that you're the focus and that the birds of the air don't even have to work. Right?
Yeah.
And it tells us that He takes care of them. They don't grow grow from their own efforts. The flowers don't, and the birds don't receive.
Right.
efforts by efforts. They just receive. The sun shines, you know, and the flowers grow, and the flowers can produce seeds, and the birds go get them. And I mean, it's just something that God makes the rain and the sun to take care of them. Everything that grows, they can take care of them. What's that saying? When you receive by faith without effort, you are receiving His care like He intended for you to receive. You're not here to labor in this planet and make a hard living and try to get the money to come in. God wants you to learn to, like a bird and like a flower, just open up and receive what He's provided for you here. With no apologies to anybody for anything you have. Since when is somebody else the judge of how much you should have? If Solomon, Jesus said Solomon didn't even receive as much as the birds and the flowers.
Yeah.
If Jesus said that.
Yeah.
Is Jesus in heaven going to get offended because, hey, he's got 6 houses and 3 cars?
Come on.
You know. They're not here for God or for the devil.
Amen.
Or for the birds or for the planet or for flowers or anything. They're here for me.
Amen.
Come on now, get religion out. Get all that religion out.
Yes, sir.
Now, God is the kind of God to where really, if you think about it, He can make more.
Yeah.
And it's not even here for His pleasure. Yeah. He cannot get pleasure out of things, because if you have everything you need and you have the ability to make anything more that you need or want, there is no more pleasure in getting more things or keeping it for yourself. How many of you have ever seen people that get real wealthy? They no longer, you know, they're just looking for more meaning in life.
Yeah, that's
right. So what do? They start giving it away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. You get more blessed by giving it to somebody. Amen.
Amen.
And that's what God did. He said, I can make any planet I want. I can set up this. I can make 50 million planets with people on all of them.
Right.
I can make all this stuff. I mean, if I needed more, I could just make more.
Yeah.
I get no pleasure out of stuff.
Yeah.
But my people need it, so I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to pour my pleasure on giving it to them.
Amen.
Giving it to them.
Amen.
Giving it to them.
Amen.
Giving it to them. And you need to look up and say, I need to make you happy today. I receive. I receive. That's me. Praise the Lord. I receive. Spend it on me, God. That was your plan. You put it all here for me. Amen. He's Father. And the term inheritance is in the New Testament, not in the Old Testament.
Yes, that's right.
What does inheritance mean? Daddy got it all, and it all goes to the kids.
Amen.
That's what inheritance means. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the Bible says.
Yes.
But Psalm 115 goes on and tells us for the revelation. He didn't keep it for himself. He said, the earth, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he gave to the children of men.
Yes.
The earth is here to provide for man.
Yes.
Glory be to God. So that's what he did. He said, I'm going to have a family and I need to provide for them. I need to provide everything they need. And guess what? Not only did he provide all you need in the planet, how many of you know he in redemption provided ahead of time everything you needed in the area of healing, all the answers you need, all the wisdom you need. If you need college tuition for your children, he provided that ahead of time.
Yes.
That's what redemption is all about. He took care of all that from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
He made provision for his man because he was saying, I got to make a place for man to take care of him in. And that's exactly what he did.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And God wants you to get a hold of that tonight. He doesn't want you out chasing things. He wants you to be able to receive. Because that's what really he put it all here for, is to take care of you. And all these things are looking and directed towards you. They're waiting on you. Go to Hebrews 4 and we'll close this down. Hebrews 4. You getting another thing out of this?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Look at verse 2 through 4. Hebrews 4, 2 through 4. It says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Them in this scripture is the children of Israel that God brought out of Egypt. How many of you know the Bible in a number of places talks about the place God provided for certain people?
Yeah.
The garden was the place he planned for man originally.
Yeah.
And then when man fell, he prepared a place for his people in Canaan's land.
Yeah.
The Bible says that, you know, many times God prepares places for certain things. And so here God pulled the people out of Egypt. They're in bondage and told them there was a good land waiting for them. He said, here, they call it the gospel. It was preached to us as well as unto them. But unto them, the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So God plans for you to be taken care of by receiving by faith.
Amen.
Can you see that?
Yes.
This place He's provided for you is received by faith.
Yes. Amen.
And then it says in verse number 3, "For we which have believed do enter into rest," not labor, "but rest, as He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, that they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished," get this, "from the foundation of the world." God provided everything you needed, not only in creation, but in redemption, everything from the foundation of the world. Verse 4, "For He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day." Here's the biggest word in all this verse. From what?
All
His works. What did He rest from on the seventh day?
All
His works. Is that just talking about creation work? No, because Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, which was the redemptive sacrifice.
Good. Yes.
Redemption. The rework of redemption was done from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Can you not believe Philippians 4:19? If God took care of all you needed before the foundation of the world, He had a plan to make man, and so He said, "Let's make a house for him to live in. Let's make a planet." He took care of everything before He even put man in the place. And He even knew man was going to fall into sin, so He created a plan of redemption even before man fell into sin. And you realize redemption brought us back not only from sin, but all the curse that destroys prosperity and all the curse that destroys our minds, our bodies, and everything that causes everything not to work. Come on now. Redemption has brought us back off of all of that. So we're to live in this planet blessed. Praise the Lord. So He provided at every turn for the people of God, but they didn't believe Him in the Old Testament, talking about the children of Israel, Kadesh Barnea. And so all the nations are to see the people of God and see them blessed with the things of this planet.
Amen.
That didn't go over real big, but it needs to.
Amen.
All nations, the people that don't serve God. See, they're not serving God. They have not accepted their redemption.
Right.
Jesus redeemed them, but they haven't accepted it. So we are to be the ones that the world looks to and say, "Look at that, they have a father. God must be taking good care of them because they've got, look at that, God's their father and He's taking good care of them."
Amen.
Glory be to God. So we thank God for that. Look at the Amplified in chapter 4. It says, "His works had been completed and prepared and waiting on all those who believe from the foundation of the world." God made this place, completed it, prepared it. Now it's out there waiting for you.
Yes.
Come on.
Amen.
It's been prepared for a long time. He prepared for you before you ever knew you needed the provision. And He prepared redemption for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's waiting on all those who will believe.
Yes.
Glory be to God. So don't lay in bed and mentally struggle with, "How am I going to pay my bills?" Don't say, how's going to happen? I don't know how I'm going to have my... it's very evident. I'm the reason that all this stuff is here. I'm the reason God's here taking care of me. I'm the reason. I'm the center of His tension. Amen. I'm the reason He put the plan in motion. I'm the reason the planet spins. I'm the reason there's gold here. I'm the reason everything's here for man. Praise God. Amen. So don't struggle for things. Just believe and receive. Believe you're the center of His plan. Believe it's here because He said it's waiting on you. There's gold out there waiting on you. You see that? He's prepared it. And it stands ready.
Amen.
The Amplified says, "It's waiting on all those who will believe."
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Well, I'm a believer.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm a believer.
Amen.
And don't be offended at anything you start seeing happening for me.
That's right. Amen.
Don't you get bad. Don't you get upset about it.
Amen.
Just be an indication you don't recognize you're redeemed.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Can you say amen to that? Now, you're going to have to get this and just ponder on this and meditate on this and let God build this into your spirit.
Amen.
Because I know you might think that I got a hold of that tonight. Well, it might have been authored, but it wasn't finished.
Yeah.
You know, God wants to keep on building this into your spirit and building this into your, and you won't have this attitude of, "Well, there's just not enough to go around." Do you think God made a planet and knew how many people would multiply and didn't put enough in this planet?
Yeah.
Give me a church break.
Ha ha ha!
Hey, amen. There's more. I'm told that every person on the planet could be a multi-billionaire.
Amen.
Even by the resources that have been brought out of the planet already.
Amen.
Somebody says, well, why am I not a multi-billionaire? Well, somebody else got your stuff. That's why.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying go get a gun and take it. I'm saying begin to believe God.
Amen.
Start calling it in. Money come to me. I just love what I can tell some stuff's breaking off of some folks.
Yeah, amen.
This religious stuff
Amen. Keeps
people in bondage because we can't do that because, you know, we don't want to have too much. Somebody might get offended.
Yes.
Well, just go ahead and offend them.
You
can't make everybody happy.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
In the last 2 weeks, I've been accused of 3 or 4 things. You know, I'd have to try to please everybody, you know. This person thinks I'm not this. This person thinks I ought to do this. This person thinks I ought to do this in the church. I can't please everybody.
Right.
So I'm just going to get in the presence of God and see what He wants me to do and do it.
There you go. Amen.
And if somebody's not happy, I just love them.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory.
So there's always going to be somebody that's, well, I don't like the way you spend your money. Hey, it's not your money.
That's right.
Even pastors have to deal with that. People in the church, they think, well, he's spending God's money. Wait a minute. You have a right to tell me how I spend my personal money? You do, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, then I turn around. I'm going to tell you how to spend your personal money.
Come on, you tell him. Amen.
Amen.
I'm free.
Yes, amen.
Well, you shouldn't have that big house. Well, it's not your life. I didn't plan on moving into it either, to be honest with you. The first time I drove in the development, I thought, no, this is bigger. This is more than I planned. I don't want to spend it. I want to be able to do some other things, you know. And I drove back out, and I knew in here it was ours.
That's right. Amen.
My father was trying to take care of me.
Yes.
And here I am driving away, going to a smaller place. So don't get on to me. It was my daddy that did it for me.
Amen.
He had to talk me into it.
Come on.
He and my wife, she helped. Praise the Lord. So don't be offended at anything
That's
like that.
Right. Come on.
Anytime wealth starts bothering you, you know your faith is not there yourself.
Yes.
And it's just because you don't know you're redeemed yet.
That's the truth.
You just don't know how good your Father is. All this is here for you. Just all God provided it for you. And God will never start slapping people on the wrist and say, that's too much. That's too much. That's too much. The Bible says, you want to stick with the Bible? The children of Israel, God gave them all that land, but they never possessed everything God told them was theirs. Except this one tribe, the Bible says the tribe of Judah, they took too much. You ever read that? Joshua, I think. They took too much. They couldn't patrol the borders of everything they had taken. One tribe did. And there were some other tribes, Simeon and I think Naphtali or one of those other tribes that you don't hear much about. They came up and they said, hey, you have too much. And Judah said, hey, come on over in here, man. Enjoy ours. We got more than enough.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But notice God didn't send a prophet to Judah after they kept possessing and taking land and driving out Ishmaelites and Canaanites and termites and everything. They kept moving and possessing, and God didn't send a prophet and said, thus saith the Lord, you greedy Judeans. He never said that. He said, there's somebody taking what I said is theirs. Glory to God. So look at your neighbor and say, hey.
Hey.
Go say that. Say, hey.
Let me alone.
I'm his child.
My daddy's taking care of me.
And he loves me.
And he loves me.
Amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to go ahead and receive now. So you hold on to your horses. Because what's getting ready to happen is going to be something that's going to be big here now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I like, you know, back in early years of some of the ministry that Brother Copeland has and you know, Jerry Savelle and some of those ministers he has with him sometimes. Back in the early years of those ministries start, some of the things that God started doing for them, the news media started getting a hold of it. And they'd fly over their houses with helicopters and take pictures, you know, and say, look at this, you know. See, the thought that the world has a lot is that drug dealers have it, people that invest in the market have it, you know, and all these people, you know, sinners, Donald Trump, all these people can have it. But Christians, they're not supposed to have it. Why is that? That's the spirit of the world.
That's right.
That's the lie of the devil.
Yes.
But anyway, Jerry Savelle got tired of it. So he got up there and with salt or sugar or flour or something, he dumped on his roof and he formed some words that says, yes, I'm blessed. So the next time they're flying over, they're taking their pictures and it says, yes, I'm blessed. You don't owe an apology to anybody for God taking good care of you. You see, the thought people have is somebody's stealing out of the offering plate to do that. Well, how dare you, like Dr. Art Aragon said, how dare you know that and not report me to the police? You as a good citizen, as a good member of the body of Christ, ought to remove people like that from the very contact of the body of Christ that they have.
Yes.
Something's coming on me now. Watch out. Ain't nobody stealing out of the offering plate. It's amazing people don't believe God can bless a preacher.
Yeah.
A lot of times, other ways than a salary.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Look at your neighbor and say, God's good anyhow. Now look at your other neighbor and say, I'm his favorite now. He's taking care of me now. Yeah, I'm going to start wearing some duds. Going to enjoy the good of the land.
I'm going to enjoy the good of the land.
You know what? Sometimes people think that's covetousness. Wait a minute. Let me say this. Covetousness has nothing to do with how much you have. You can be covetous with two dimes.
Yeah.
You know, right. So you got two dimes in your pocket and you're looking at Matt's suit jacket and you think, man, I sure would like that.
Yeah.
That's covetousness. Yeah. It's a heart. Covetousness is a heart condition, not a financial condition. It's a heart condition. And so don't let somebody think, tell you you're covetous just because you have something. That's not covetous.
Amen.
Covetousness is really loving it, putting it before God.
Yeah. Amen.
Remember, Jesus said to Brother Hagin one time in a vision, he said, if you listen to my spirit, I'll make you rich. He said that to him in a vision. He said, you listen to my spirit, the inner witness, I'll make you rich. He said, I'm not opposed to my people having things. I'm opposed to him being covetous.
Yes.
See, that's the love of money. And that's where the root of all that evil stuff comes in. But just having it is not covetousness.
Amen.
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 Well, I could go for another 2 hours on that. Something happened to me just the last few days about this subject. I'm not apologizing. I'm not being backwards. Now, we're not here to compete or compare to one another.
That's
either.
Right. That's right.
That's wrong too.
That's right.
We bless each other. We give to one another. We help people that are struggling.
Yes.
We're not putting people down that are struggling.
Right.
We bless each other.
Amen.
Isn't that right? Take care of each other.
Yes.
We're all family here. Praise the Lord. But I'm just simply saying we got to get rid of this religious thing that says, well, you know, somebody might not like it. Yeah, they probably won't. But you just keep a tender heart toward them and love them and bless them. And they'll come around eventually. Amen.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Eberly's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147, or you can write us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.